He was 7 when I left home. It's not like we had a close relationship.
But if your parents were that bad, don't you worry about him being with them when you're not there to protect him?
I laugh and shake my head. My parents were shit to me, but not that kid. They love him, treated him like the king of the castle. He could literally do no wrong in their eyes. He's fine right where he is, and it's not like I could have just taken him when I left. The road is no place for a kid. Before I took off, I thought about taking Austin with me, but I wasn't sure how I was going to feed myself, let alone a kid. I knew he'd be fine with my parents. They loved him way more than they ever loved me. They made sure I knew how much more on a daily basis, too. My grandmother promised me she'd check in on Austin, and the moment their attitude went south and they started treating him like anything other than a little prince, she'd let me know. Then, and only then, would I go back for him, taking him wherever my ass ended up.
Where have you been for the last 9 years?
Gigi asks, leaning forward, resting her fist underneath her chin, and studying me like I was a rarity instead of the norm. Here and there? Pike's been working at some of the best tattoo shops in Florida since he was 20, Joe tells her, figuring my answer wouldn't satisfy his daughter.
If they were so good, why is he here?
She asks, like I'm not even at the table or able to answer. Because I only wanted to be at the best place, and that's Inked. I hope it's enough for the conversation finally to shift away from me.
And for the 2 years in between?
She asks, like a bloodhound, suddenly interested in my life for the first time since I met her.
He was hanging with the guys and the disciples,
Izzy throws out there like it is common knowledge and something I put on my resume, which I didn't, and I thought I'd covered my tracks enough that no one would find out. My gaze slides to Izzy, and she shrugs with a shitty smirk.
You didn't think I'd hire you without having my husband run a full background check, did you?
So you all knew but hired me anyway? I lean back in my chair, stunned as I look around the table, all eyes on me.
When we let someone into the shop, we're not only letting them into our business, we're giving them access to our family. No one gets hired without a full workup, no matter how fucking great their work is,
Joe tells me, his face hard and unreadable. I was never a prospect, I reply, feeling like I need to explain my checkered past.
We know,
Izzy says, crossing her arms in front of her chest, leaning back like me.
You wouldn't be in that chair if you had been.
How do you know? I'm pretty sure the things she's saying and thinks she knows aren't public knowledge or part of any record. At least not something someone could find out without digging into my background, finding the filth I wanted to stay hidden.
Babe,
she says, a shit-eating grin spreading across her face.
My husband may be an investigator now, but he was a DEA agent working the MC scene all across the South. If there's something he needs to know about a person or any club in the country, he's going to find it and not stop until he does.
He asked around about me. Izzy nods.
He went right to the source, had a sit-down with Tiny.
My shoulders slump, and I let out a long, exasperated sigh. He went to Tiny? Izzy nods.
Yep, got all the dirt.
I raise an eyebrow, because I'm sure he got some dirt. But he didn't get the steaming pile of shit that was my time hanging with the disciples. Tiny isn't much of a talker.
Tiny and James go way back, and my brother Thomas and he go even further. They picked Tiny's brain, got the dirt they could get, and were satisfied enough with what he had to say that I got the okay to offer you that seat.
Izzy pauses for a moment, shifting in her chair, leaning forward with her elbows resting just off the table.
And just so you know, the feds watch those clubs every second of every day. You're in the files. Your name is there. Pictures of you at their compound, riding with them, causing the havoc only the disciples cause. If Tiny hadn't vouched for you, telling my husband you were just a kid who needed a home and help, you wouldn't be sitting where you're sitting.
Still don't like that shit one bit,
Joe says, glancing down at his daughter as she gawks at me like she didn't know a damn thing about my past. She may not have known about the disciples, but she knew why I was at Bike Week. It's not like we met at the ice cream shop, sharing wanton glasses as we licked our cones. We met at a biker rally, one of the biggest ones in the country, for fuck's sake. I was never in the life, and I don't plan on ever being there either. Those guys took me in when I had nowhere to go. They gave me a bed and a place to belong at a time when I had nothing and no one. They were a solid in my life when all I had was chaos.
They don't do that shit out of the goodness of their heart,
Izzy says, clearly knowing a lot about the life from her husband.
I spent enough time around those guys to know that life comes with strings.
You know a lot of bikers? I ask, trying not to laugh because the woman may be scary, but she didn't seem the type to be hanging out at compounds, sucking the cocks of random bikers for kicks.
Someday, if you stick around, maybe I'll tell you about the time I spent with the Sun Devils, but that day isn't today, kid.
My eyebrows shoot up. I know enough about the Sun Devils that I'm not sure I want to know about what shit went down between you and them.
The fucking Sun Devils, Joe groans. I hate those fuckers. They caused enough shit with this family that if I ever see one of them again, I'll...
They're all put away, Joe. Calm your shit. They can't touch us now,
Izzy tells him like he doesn't have a reason to worry, which isn't entirely true.
They have a far reach, Iz. Even behind bars, those fuckers have eyes and ears on the ground. I'm waiting for the next time they come after this family. And besides, it's not like they have life sentences.
I swallow down the lump that's lodged in my throat, thinking about the Sun Devils and the carnage they'd spread across the South back in the day. They came after the family? Joe nods, eyes steely and cold.
Kidnapped Izzy and, hell, Angel too, but in the end they landed in the place they deserved. Should have known better than to mess with two DEA agents' family members, but they weren't always the brightest fucking bunch. They let their thirst for vengeance cloud their judgment and sealed their fate in pulling the shit they did.
Happens a lot with men like that,
Anthony adds as he lifts his beer glass to his lips. The table goes on chatting about the Sun Devils as I sit there, staring at them in shock and amazement. I can't wrap my head around the fact that the MC went after the Gallows. They seem like the nicest people in the world, maybe wound a little tight and possibly a little too loving. But why the fuck would they come after them and kidnap two women who weren't even part of the world? It makes no sense. But then again, shit inside the MC world rarely made a bit of sense unless you were part of the life with axes to grind and anger to burn.
I'm ready to go.
Gigi stares at me across the table.
You ready?
I nod, swallowing down the last sip of beer and pushing my seat back, standing. Let's hit it.
You too, be careful on the way home,
Joe says, like he's said it a million times before. A weird feeling crashes over me as Gigi waves goodbye. One of belonging. One of family. All about something I never had before but wished like hell I did. No one has ever given a shit if I got home okay or made it in one piece. The only person who cared was my grandmother. But she wasn't even that concerned, figuring I was a man who would somehow get myself through anything. But Gigi grew up Gallo. She grew up surrounded by love, not knowing what it's like to have no one at her back. She is luckier than she could ever know, and I am kind of jealous of the life she's lived. The love she has. The acceptance that is freely given. I'd give anything to have just a small sliver of that goodness in my life. I may not have been given it by birth, but I'll do whatever I have to do to get a little piece of it in my life now.
Chapter 13. Gigi.
I love the last piece you did tonight,
Pike says with his wrist on the steering wheel, looking like he's driven my truck 1,000 times. The flash of oncoming traffic lights up his features, sending shadows across his face. I stare at him in the relative darkness, taking in the slight bump on the bridge of his nose and the lushness of his lips. I love when clients want me to design a piece, when they give me free rein to run with their thoughts and turn it into something original and meaningful.
You nailed it. The color was spot on, too,
he praises, and warmth blooms inside my chest. Thanks. I turn my head just as he turns his to look at me, because I don't want him to know I'm staring at him. I could use a little more practice at shading.
Nah, It took me a couple of years to get as good as you are now. In 5 years, you'll be featured in all the big magazines. Mark my words, Gigi.
That's really nice of you to say, but you don't have to suck up to me. I don't plan on blowing up your world anytime soon, Pike. He rolls the truck into the empty parking space in front of our apartment building and stops, turning to me as he cuts the engine.
I figured if you were going to, you would have done it already.
Oh, I whisper, glancing at him when he shifts, sliding a little closer to me. What are you doing?
Just wanted to talk alone for a few minutes.
Pike stares at me in the soft glow of the parking lot lights, and I practically have to will myself not to leap into his lap. Even after 15 months, the pull to him is so heavy, the attraction so deep. I have to remind myself he's not for me. We have very little in common except for where we live and what we do. He comes from a different life, one without a loving family, but with the disciples in his past. You can talk from over there. I tick my chin toward his side of the cab. Because if he gets any closer. He scoots closer, and I hold my breath.
What's going to happen?
My fingers work the fringe on the bottom of my denim shorts, and I remind myself to breathe. I just don't think it's a good idea. The one thing I know about Pike is he won't do anything I don't want. If I tell him to back off and it's not going to happen, he'll leave me alone. But then I remember the way his mouth tastes, the sensation of his lips against mine, and how much I want to feel his body pressing mine into the mattress.
Sometimes the best things never are.
What if we get caught? He cocks an eyebrow.
Your parents have surveillance set up?
I shrug, laughing nervously, because the way he's looking at me is nothing short of hot and needy. I wouldn't put it past my mother. My father is overprotective, but my mother is downright smothering. His gaze drops to my lips as I speak, and heat sparks across my body. The needy ache I've felt for him since the moment I laid eyes on him again at Inked amplifies, and I'm pretty sure nothing but his touch will help chase the feeling away.
Darling,
he says, and my belly tumbles. I keep telling him how much I hate that word, but damn it, it's a lie. It's so much better than babe, and when Pike's saying it, there's nothing sweeter, and it's a total turn on.
Get your ass over here and kiss me already.
I gawk at him. It's like he's reading my mind because my body language doesn't exactly scream sex right now. I haven't moved an inch, too scared of what will happen if I do. The last time Pike and I kissed, we barely came up for air for almost a week. With my current dry spell, I'm confident it'll be much the same, but I don't have the luxury of time. When I don't move, Pike slides closer until our knees are touching.
I'm going to kiss you, Gigi.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yes. 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 I want to crawl into his lap, wrap my arms around his neck, and kiss the hell out of the man until I'm gasping for air. Pike, I whisper, my eyes locked on his mouth as his tongue pokes out, sweeping across his bottom lip. The words don't make it out of my mouth before his hand is on my jaw, caressing my cheek with his thumb.
Tell me no, and I'll stop.
Pike, I repeat like my brain is fried and his touch alone has rendered me completely and absolutely stupid. He leans forward, eyes locked on mine, hand on my face as the shadows pass over his face, when he moves his mouth closer. Yes. I whisper so quietly I can barely hear myself over the loud thumping of my heart against the insides of my chest. When his lips connect with mine, so velvety, soft, and warm, I can do nothing but open to him. The man is hard everywhere. Hard arms, hard features, hard eyes, hard cock. But the one place he's soft is his lips. His mouth is demanding, just like the rest of him, and his lips press against mine. He tightens his fingers behind my neck, pulling me toward him, and my body moves on its own. Without thinking, I crawl into his lap, straddling him in the front seat of my truck in the very public parking lot of our building. My arms go around his neck like they were always meant to be there as I settle into his lap, pressing my chest against his, loving the demanding way he's kissing me. I could get lost in him. I did, actually. 15 months ago, I'd been in this same position, tasting his lips, figuring I'd never see him again. Wrong. He slides a hand around my back, gripping my ass roughly as his tongue moves across my lips, and my skin starts to tingle everywhere, like his mouth is the lighter fluid and his touch is the match. My body's on fire, burning for the man below me. I grind my hips as I open my lips, giving him anything he wants. It's been so long since I've been touched like this. So long since I've felt this kind of need for anyone. In all honesty, I haven't wanted another man since the day I drove away from Daytona, telling myself Pike was nothing more than a fling. Pike's fingers slide up the back of my neck before tangling in my hair, securing me to him even though I'm not going anywhere. I'm right where I want to be.
I miss this,
he murmurs against my lips, sending a jolt of white-hot electricity down my spine like a lightning bolt of need coursing through my system.
Missed how sweet you taste.
I moan and tighten the hold I have around his shoulders, latching my lips back onto his to stop him from talking. We talked all day. What we didn't do was kiss. Now isn't the time for chatter. Now's the time to get what I've been thinking about since the moment I laid eyes on him again. A man clears his throat, and I freeze, my eyes flying open and going wide. We stare at each other, our mouths still touching but not breathing.
Excuse me,
the man says, not giving two fucks that we're currently getting hot and heavy in the parking lot.
I'm looking for Mr. Pike Moore.
Pike's lips move to the side, sliding off mine slowly, and I want to crawl through the open window and knee this guy in the balls for interrupting us.
I'm him.
The man reaches down, fishing something out of his pocket, and Pike's body stiffens under me. His hand is wrapped around my arms, hauling me off his body and to the other side of the truck, shielding me from whatever this man is about to do.
I'm Special Agent Russo from the FBI. I was wondering if I could have a minute of your time.
The man flashes his identification before snapping the leather wallet shut. Pike growls, flat out growls, like he's about to attack.
It's almost 1 a.m. I'm sitting in the truck, having a nice time with my girl. And you pick now to bust my balls?
The agent's eyes cut to me and then back to Pike.
Sorry for the bad timing, but I've been waiting around here all day for you, Mr. Moore.
Bad timing,
Pike mumbles, his hands balling into tight fists against his legs.
Understatement of the fucking year.
I only need a moment of your time,
the agent says, making no move like he's going to leave and let us finish what we began. Pike's gaze moves to me.
Go inside, darling. I'll only need a minute.
I'm not leaving. No man is going to tell me what to do, and like fuck am I leaving Pike out here alone with an agent without finding what the hell he wants.
It's about your dad.
If I thought Pike was stiff before, he's hard as granite now. His movements are slow, letting the man's words wash over him, soaking into his soul.
Is he dead?
He wasn't the last time we had eyes on him.
Pike moves his hand to the steering wheel, making no attempt to get out of the truck as I sit next to him, not moving and barely breathing. What the hell could the agent want with Pike if it has to do with his father? Whether Pike likes the man or not, I can't imagine a cop showing up asking me questions about my own blood.
I don't talk to my father, so I don't know how I can help.
Pike's eyes burn as they come to me.
I'm busy with my girl, so if you could come back tomorrow, maybe, and I mean maybe, I'll talk to you. Sir,
the agent says and shakes his head.
I'm not leaving until we talk. If I have to haul your ass downtown to FBI headquarters to do it, so be it.
My hand clamps over my mouth as I gasp, and I try to cover my horror at the entire situation. Is that really necessary? I mumble against my palm with wide eyes. The agent nods.
Actually, let's take a drive. I'd like to speak with you in private. It'll be safer downtown. Like fuck.
Pike hisses, hand tightening around my steering wheel like he's trying to choke the life out of it. Don't go. I stick my nose where it doesn't belong, but that's always been my way.
Ma'am, do you want to take a ride in the back of my car, too? You can wait in the holding cell, where we keep the good criminals.
He winks. Pike's out of the truck before the guy can straighten his face again.
Leave her the fuck alone. If your beef is with me, keep it with me. You hear me?
I lunge to the side, trying to grab onto his arm, but miss, falling face first into the seat. Let me call my uncle, I mutter into the fabric as I push myself upward to a sitting position. Pike turns, his eyes flashing a warning that needs no words. I'm to call no one.
I'll be fine. Get your ass inside and lock the door.
Pike ticks his head toward the apartment building, like I'm just supposed to obey. Is he for real? If the situation weren't so dire and the agent didn't look like such a giant douche, I'd laugh right in Pike's face. Pike, I don't think...
He'll be fine, ma'am.
The man dips his head, giving me a bullshit smile, like I'm just gonna take his word on that. He already said shitty things to me and hasn't been the nicest to Pike, even though he's supposedly only wanted for questioning. Are you arresting him? I blurt out as I slide across the truck, crawling to my feet just behind Pike. The agent's gaze sweeps over Pike as he pulls at the cuffs of his dress shirt that are barely peeking out from his suit jacket.
Not yet, but stranger things have happened.
Well, isn't that reassuring?
Just go inside, Gigi.
Pike orders as I start to reach for my phone.
Call no one.
I let out a loud huff before jamming my phone back into my shorts pocket. Fine.
Let's go, son. Don't call me that. You're not my daddy.
Pike says coldly.
The longer you wait, the later it'll be when you get back.
Pike turns to me and grabs my hands, tangling his fingers with mine.
I'll text you when I'm back, darling. Don't worry. I'll be fine.
I'll go with you. I take a step toward Pike before he tightens his grip, stopping me.
Stay here, in case I need you.
Please. He begs with knitted brows. What the fuck am I supposed to do from here? How can I help him if I'm 30 minutes away? He's crazy if he thinks I'm just going to stand by, twiddling my damn thumbs until he sends me a text message. Okay, I lie. I promise. I lie again. He exhales as his shoulders finally relax.
Thank you.
He leans forward, placing his lips on my cheek and whispers,
I promise, everything will be fine.
I don't know if I want to scream or cry as he releases me, backing up toward the agent, our eyes locked on each other. I want to beg him not to go, beg him to stay here, but I know it's useless. Pike folds himself into the back of the guy's unmarked car, staring at me through the window as the dickhead slams the door. I lift my hand and wave, wishing I could tell him everything will be okay. He may have whispered the words, but I know he didn't believe a word he spoke. The agent smirks as he climbs into the front, revving the engine like that piece of shit Capri is a hot rod. I walk toward the car, following it as it slowly rolls toward the exit of the apartment complex. Pike turns in his seat, peering at me through the window, barely visible in the darkness. I waste no time, grabbing my phone and dialing the only person I know who can help in this situation. The only one I know who can keep his mouth shut.
It's fucking late. This shit better be good.
I wince. Uncle James? I need you. I look into the darkness as the taillights of the agent's car disappear.
Chapter 14. Pike. The sound of metal on concrete snaps me out of the haze from sitting too long in a quiet room at 4 in the morning. Fuck, I need to be at work in 8 hours and I'm nowhere near my place and need to get some damn sleep so I'm not useless tomorrow. So far, the asshat agent hasn't said much, but has come in to bust my balls every few minutes just as I'm nodding off. I assume it's all part of his genius master plan, trying to deprive me of sleep, so I'll tell him whatever he's fishing for just so I can leave.
Sorry,
a new guy says, plopping down in the chair, almost spilling the coffee he's holding in one hand.
Didn't mean to wake you.
Fucker. Can we just get this shit over with so I can get out of here? They took my phone as soon as I got here. I'm pretty sure there's probably dozens of texts from Gigi. Possibly a few missed calls, all growing in levels of panic. I wasn't looking forward to having her chew my ear off for ordering her ass inside and telling her to mind her own business, even if I said it in a nice way. Or at least, the nicest way I knew how. The man flips open a folder, fingers a few pages, staring down at the words.
Your father is Colton Moore?
Yes. I grit my teeth together, slouching over in the chair and wrapping my fingertips on the metal table. I thought we established this.
I'm the new shift.
He peers up for a moment as he turns a page.
Have you ever worked for the firm of Moore, Justice, and Sanders?
I glare at this dumbass. Do I look like a lawyer?
I guess that's a no,
he says, pulling a pen from a pocket on the front of his shirt.
Have you ever spent time in his office?
Recently? I mean, my ass is in Florida, so that would be a no. Is this guy fucking serious with these dumbass questions?
Ever, kid. Have you ever spent time in his office?
When I was a kid, sure, he is my father. He scribbles something on the paper, flipping to the next sheet.
Have you ever heard the name Dominic DeSantis?
My face doesn't move because I've heard that name a million times in my life. Dirty Dom. That's how my father always referred to him, especially when talking with other friends and clients he'd bring back to the house. The man was a criminal, and my father was his attorney, but half the shit my dad did for him wasn't covered under the umbrella of a normal attorney-client relationship. They thought I was too young to understand when they'd talk in my presence. Just figured I was some dumb kid who was too busy pushing around the same shitty toy truck I'd had for 3 years to know what they were saying. But I heard every word. And took it all in. I've heard the name, I tell the guy who is staring at me across the table, waiting for me to lie. I'm pretty sure he already knows the answers to the questions. A quick background check would have told him I haven't lived in Tennessee in almost a decade, and being Colt's kid, of course I heard names I probably never should have heard. He raises an eyebrow.
Care to elaborate?
I raise mine right back. Care to tell me why? The man sighs, leaning back in the chair, pushing the folder of papers toward the middle of the table.
Dominic DeSantis is a mobster.
I nod because anyone who's anyone and pays attention to the national news knows this shit. He was popped a year ago and is awaiting trial for money laundering and a whole long-ass list of shit I'm pretty sure he did.
He's currently locked up and awaiting trial.
Tell me something I don't know. I kick back, putting my hands behind my head, acting as chill as I can so I don't lose my shit. Why did you haul me down here to tell me something I already know? This is bullshit, verging on harassment.
Your father was on retainer with Dominic.
I know, I bark, losing my patience.
We believe your father may be involved in Mr. DeSantis' criminal enterprises.
I lean forward, resting my arms on the table, and glare at this buffoon. Whether my father is or isn't, I don't know how you think I can help. Do you know how close I am to my father? I pause for a second, and just as he's about to say something stupid again, I continue. I haven't spoken to my father in over 10 years. I lived with my grandmother as soon as I started middle school because I couldn't be around the asshole another minute. He may be my blood, but that doesn't make him my family. I know you want to nail him and DeSantis, but there's nothing I can say to help you. The agent crosses his arms, studying me.
Whether you've talked to him in 10 years or not, you know things. We're privy to things no one else was. If you're not willing to help us, maybe we should visit your little brother at summer camp and see if he's willing to help us.
I force myself to stay in my seat, because all I want to do is lunge at the asshole and wrap my fingers around his neck until he begs for me to let go. Leave Austin out of this.
We're running out of options, Mr. Moore. Either you help us, or we'll have no other choice but to speak with Austin.
Talk to my mother. I'm sure she'll flip on him if you offer her something she wants, like a new life and an unlimited bank account.
She's dead, son.
I blink a few times, thinking I must have heard him wrong. Excuse me?
Died this morning. Gunshot to the back of the head after she dropped Austin off at camp. We figured it was an execution, sending a message to your father from Mr. DeSantis.
My head spins with the news as it slams into my chest like a ton of bricks. My mother is dead. She and I had a tenuous relationship at best, but I wasn't her favorite, and always seemed more like a burden than a blessing. She never once stopped my father from putting his hands on me. Never once stopped the man from treating me like an outcast in my own home. If she had a maternal instinct, it didn't appear until Austin was born. I never went to summer camp. I never got shit as a kid. There wasn't a new toy in my room until the ones I had were so worn out they basically fell apart. I don't remember being hugged or snuggled, even if I was sick or bleeding. The two of them were worthless. The day my grandmother caught my father, hand raised, ready to strike me, she took me in and I never looked back. You think DeSantis killed my mother, and you track me down, harassing me for hours, and don't even bother to mention that shit until now? I ball my hands into fists, wanting to punch this fucker straight in the face. And you make me leave my girl alone and vulnerable so you can haul me down here, not even thinking it's a good idea to clue me the fuck in on the day's events.
We have no reason to believe your girlfriend is in danger.
Pardon me if that isn't reassuring. Did you think my mother was in danger, or did you let her take one for the team?
Son,
don't fucking call me that, I yell, pushing back from the table and rising to my feet. Don't ever fucking call me that. I want to talk to your superior. The man's up, studying me as I pace around the room, running my hands through my hair to do something with them besides knock his lights out.
I don't think...
That seems to be the norm around here, I taunt, wishing he'd get pissed and swing on me just so I could land a good one on him. He turns his back to me as the handle to the door turns and opens, and a man appears.
Agent Carson, the interview is over.
Damn right it is, I bark out, leering at the two men across the room from me.
We aren't finished,
Carson replies, turning and tossing his pen on the table that sits between us.
Just a few more minutes,
the other man shakes his head.
Can't let that happen. We have an issue.
What kind of issue?
The director called and isn't so happy about us bringing Mr. Moore in for questioning.
Carson stiffens.
How the hell does he know?
The man gives a small shrug.
I guess the kid has a few connections. Calls were made, favors exchanged, and we're to let him go, or else...
Connections? Favors? No one knows I'm here except for Gigi. Fuck. She didn't listen to a damn word I said. By now, the entire Gallo family probably knows my ass is downtown, sitting in FBI headquarters for some unknown reason. I'll have a lot of explaining to do and a lot of begging if I am going to be allowed to stay at Inked, and at least finish out the contract on the chair I so badly want. Fucking perfect. If shit wasn't fucked up enough already, my mom dead, my brother motherless, and my father who the fuck knows where, my job is in jeopardy because Gigi couldn't let me handle my own shit.
What the fuck? The director knows how important this case is.
Carson throws out an arm in my direction.
And we're just supposed to let him go?
The other man raises an eyebrow.
You want to call him at this hour and tell him you think he's wrong?
Carson glances toward the ceiling and lets out a loud grunt.
Fuck! This is bullshit!
It's all bullshit, I mutter, still pacing so I don't go ballistic about the entire situation, including the two assholes in the room with me.
We're sorry about your mother, Mr. Moore,
the new guy says, like somehow his condolences are going to make anything better. My mother cut ties with me years ago. The last time I talked to her, I was already living at the Disciples' compound, which she snubbed her nose at, reminding me that she thought I was a piece of trash before and always. That was the last time I said goodbye to her, and that time I meant that word completely. I should be crying, shedding a tear that the woman who gave birth to me is lying somewhere on a cold metal table, stiff and not breathing. But I can't bring myself to cry. I care, of course I do. She is family, but there's no love between us. There never will be now. The thing I care most about is the fact that Gigi's out there, and I don't know who's had eyes on me. If DeSantis was watching my parents close enough to off my mom, is he watching me too? Has he seen Gigi and me together? Would he use her to keep me quiet?
You can go, Mr. Moore. If we need you further,
I wave him off, pushing past Carson. You know where to find me the next time you want to drop a bomb in my lap and harass me.
The department truly is sorry,
he says as I brush against him, wishing I could knock them both over as I make my way toward the sterile gray hallway. Save it. Just give me my phone and let me go.
The receptionist at the front desk will give you your things before you leave.
I pause for a minute, waiting for someone to offer me a ride home, but they say nothing. I stalk down the hallway, happy to be heading toward freedom and to make my way back home to check on Gigi. I have to figure out what to do about her. Do I distance myself from her entirely? Distance myself from her family, too? I don't want my father to put her and her entire family at risk because he's a money-grubbing asshole. I'm staring at the floor, watching the black and white checkered pattern pass in a blur and thrilled as fuck to get out of here. Even if I have to hitch a ride home with a stranger.
Pike!
Gigi screeches. I lift my head, catching sight of the beautiful brunette running toward me like we haven't seen each other in years.
Are you okay? Oh my god, I was so scared. I thought they were never going to let you go.
Her gaze darts over my body, checking for some sign of wear and tear.
Did they hurt you? I was so worried. I didn't know what to do. I'm so sorry.
She looks over her shoulder toward a man who doesn't look happy and is scarier than any dude in this place.
I had to call someone. Don't be mad at me.
She finally pleads, sucking in a breath because she hasn't given herself a chance to come up for air and stop talking long enough to breathe. I'm not mad, darling, I whisper, mindful of the man looking a little like a caged lion and totally pissed off to be here at this hour. I want to wrap her in my arms, steal her away from this place, and put her where I know no one will find her. But the way the man she came with is staring at me, at us, I know I'd better keep my hands to myself. Gigi turns toward the tall, dark-haired man behind her.
This is James,
she says, and pulls me toward him, locking her fingers with mine.
My Aunt Izzy's husband.
My eyes widen. You called Izzy's husband? She nods, smiling at me like her decision made all the sense in the world.
Izzy's not stupid. She knows something is going on. Plus, James worked for the DEA, and I figured if anyone had connections with the FBI, it would be him. What else was I supposed to do? Just leave you here?
She squeezes my fingers and gives me the sweetest smile, like it's going to make all this shit okay. Fucking great. Well, yeah. I pull my hand from her grip because Uncle James hasn't taken his eyes off our connection, and there's no happiness on his face. I would have figured something out sooner or later. James stands taller, crossing his arms as he spreads his legs farther apart. You two about done? We're done. I look the man in the eye because he deserves my respect. No matter what, he pulled my ass out of a jam, getting up in the middle of the night to help a person he didn't even know. Can you just take us home? James shakes his head. You two are going to my place. Izzy's waiting, and she's probably climbing the walls right about now. If I don't bring you there, she'll have my ass. And besides, losing sleep, I don't need her chewing my ear off all morning about dropping you off at home.
I'm sorry,
Gigi says again. It's fine. I lie, because what else am I supposed to say? Nothing about this night has been fine. From the moment the asshole interrupted our kiss until the moment I walked out of the interrogation room, nothing has been fine.
We're coming, Uncle James.
Gigi turns to me, grabbing my hand, giving my fingers a light squeeze.
Okay?
She stares up at me, looking for my confirmation. I nod. I'm not sure if it's something I want Gigi to know because she'd flip her shit, and rightfully so. Maybe I need to explain the situation to James, get his thoughts on what my next move should be and how we can shield Gigi from any potential blowback. James practically punches the door open, walking into the thick night air with Gigi and me following behind him. She glances at me, giving me a small smile every few steps before staring at her uncle and frowning. I know she has a lot to say. I know she wants to ask me everything, but she's holding back, for once. I have a lot to say, too, but I'm not sure I can put everything into words just yet. There's so much swirling around my brain, I can barely make sense of it all. Pike, sit up front. You and I are going to talk, James says as we approach his kick-ass Challenger parked just outside the doorway, since the place is deserted. Gigi mumbles, wanting to say more, but shutting her mouth when James turns his gaze toward her.
Got it, I'm in the back.
I fold the seat forward, letting her crawl into the impossibly small back seat, thankful I don't have to contort myself in crazy ways to sit next to her. I slide in under the watchful eye of James and stare straight ahead, feeling something strange wash over me. Seatbelts, kids. I don't argue with the man. I'm not stupid. I'm not even in the mood to tell him I'm not his kid, because I'm almost certain he'd knock me upside the head, and I'd still have to put on my seatbelt before he'd drive away. Right now, all I want is a place to lay my head, sort out my thoughts, and say goodbye to this day.
How do you know DeSantis?
He asks, before we're even out of the parking lot. I don't. I shrug, staring out the front window as the oncoming cars pass in a blur. My father worked for him.
That's it? You never did any side jobs for him?
That's it. I was a kid last time I was around him, 15 years ago, maybe. I forgot about the guy until I saw he'd been arrested, splattered on the front page of the newspaper. James adjusts in his seat, leaning forward, holding the steering wheel with one hand.
The director and I go way back. We have a history together. He told me what he could about the case, why they hauled you in for questioning, and what they are hoping to gain.
I don't have anything to offer, I shrug, placing my elbow on the door, resting my head in my palm because I'm so exhausted. I'm fighting to stay awake in the darkness.
They told me about your mom, James says softer, his voice laced with sorrow. I'm sorry for your loss.
Gigi gasps behind me, and I straighten.
Oh my God, Pike, I'm so sorry.
Her voice wavers like she's on the verge of tears, but there's no time for crying. I ignore her, because there's more pressing shit than fretting over a woman who gave no shits about me. I'm worried about Gigi and anyone who's around me right now. I could use your help in figuring out what my next move should be, sir.
Why are you worried about me?
This time, James ignores her.
We have a lot to figure out, and not a lot of time to do it. For the time being, the safest place for the two of you is at my house. You'll stay there until we know what we're dealing with. Got it?
James raises up, looking in the rearview mirror as we wait at a traffic light.
You hear me, Giovanna? I don't want any lip either.
Fan-fucking-tastic. The night just went from bad to clusterfucked beyond belief.
Chapter 15. Gigi. I yawn for what might be the 100th time in the 30-minute drive home from the FBI headquarters. To say I'm tired is an understatement. I don't remember being this exhausted in my entire life. I never even pulled an all-nighter studying for college exams. I've sat in relative silence as James and Pike talked around me, ignoring my every comment like I wasn't talking or even in the same car with them. They are both infuriating, cut from the same manly cloth, and it's annoying as hell.
Be ready for the real grilling to start,
James says as he pulls into the drive and his headlights land on Aunt Izzy. She's pacing back and forth in the driveway, her head coming up as she's bathed in light from the car. The look on her face isn't friendly or even playful, but serious as a fucking heart attack and like she's ready to pounce at any second. Well, this should be fun, I mumble, and wonder if I should have called Uncle Thomas instead. But I know Angel is shit at keeping secrets. And right now, I needed silence.
Just let her say what she needs to say, answer what she wants to know, and you'll live to see the sunrise,
James says, trying to make light of what totally isn't a funny situation. I drag my hands down my face, trying to clear my mind and wake myself up for whatever's probably going to be hours of explaining and getting my ass chewed out.
You handle your aunt while Pike and I talk in my office,
James tells me as he cuts the engine and unlocks the car doors.
Handle her?
I cackle, feeling loopy from exhaustion.
You know that's an impossibility, right?
James' eyes slice to mine.
You're exactly like your aunt, Kit. You two think alike. If I didn't know better, I'd think you were her daughter. You know how she thinks, so handle her. Tell her what you want, leave out what you can, and then get your ass to sleep.
James turns toward the door as Izzy wraps her fingers against the window before throwing her arms up in a what-the-fuck kind of way.
I think I'm getting the better end of this deal,
Pike says as he pushes open his door, climbs out, and pulls the lever to let me out of this crazy small back seat. You so did, I whisper, brushing up against him as I crawl out, almost smacking my head before I find my footing. I'll find you when you're done.
You two better get your asses inside. You have a lot of explaining to do,
Izzy announces before I've even stood straight and stretched my legs.
I have a feeling I'm going to be done before you, darling,
Pike says as the corner of his mouth quirks up. I scowl, because there's nothing even remotely amusing about the entire situation. From Pike being hauled downtown, the fact that his mother is dead, and I have no fucking clue how or why, and that my aunt and uncle are now all up in my shit and Pike's too.
Sweetheart,
James says, grabbing Izzy by the waist and hauling her body against his.
Go easy on the kid. She's had a long, stressful night. She's tired.
Izzy glances at me over James's shoulder. Good. She'll break easier that way. For fuck's sake, I mutter, rolling my eyes. I'll tell you everything, Auntie, if you just let me sleep for a little while.
Fat chance, Missy. March your pretty little ass into the kitchen and we'll have some coffee while we talk about all the shit you've left out.
Pike squeezes my hand, peering down at me.
Tell her what you want, Gigi. I have nothing else to hide. I'm pretty sure my ass is going to be fired anyway.
Why? I furrow my eyebrows as I glance up at him, my mouth hanging open.
No one wants trouble coming to their door, especially from someone they don't know and just hired. Go with her. It'll all be better in the morning.
Find me, okay? Promise me, I plead. Pike nods, releasing my hand and pushing me toward my aunt.
Go.
Izzy's out of James's arms and around the Challenger within seconds, stalking toward me like a woman possessed.
Stop wasting time, she says, reaching for my arm and hauling me away from Pike like I'm a little girl again.
I glance over my shoulder, mouthing, I'm sorry, to Pike as I follow my aunt up the stairs to the front door of their house. He only waves, giving me a small smile like this is just another day, and not one where his mother dies and his life may be at risk.
Sit,
Izzy says before I'm two steps into the kitchen, pointing at a chair near the island.
Coffee or water?
Coffee. I slump over, wishing she'd just give me a pillow and 1 hour to get a little sleep. But I know my aunt, and she ain't giving me nothing until I give her something in return. She pours the coffee, her back to me, and I can almost hear her thoughts and the line of questioning she's about to hurl at me. Before we start, I clear my throat, staring at her back, wishing like fuck I was anywhere but here. Can you not tell my dad? Izzy sighs, placing the coffee carafe back on the warmer.
They already know.
I gasp, eyes widening, and suddenly feel more awake than I ever have in my entire life.
What?
There was an agent waiting at your parents' house when he got home from the bar tonight. He knows Pike was hauled in for questioning, but we left some things out, like the fact that you called James in a complete panic, begging for someone to help a guy you claim to hate. I don't hate him, I mumble, crossing my arms over my chest, trying to figure out how to crawl out of this miserable mess. I know, baby girl, she says, sliding the coffee cup in front of me. I used to look at your Uncle James the same way. Girl. She laughs, shaking her head as she leans across the counter facing me. That man had me all kinds of crazy and my head all twisted. I laugh because she says that like she's normal now and Uncle James's effect is worn off. He's the only man who can shut my aunt up when she's on a tirade, which is more often than not, especially lately. So, start at the beginning. Tell me how you know Pike. She pins me with her gaze, and I swallow the lump that suddenly forms in my throat. I glance down at the mug, wrapping my hands around the warm ceramic, wondering just how far back I should go and how detailed I should be. I'm not about to get graphic with my aunt because she's my aunt, and I sure as fuck don't ask about her sex life, even if I have heard about it. Well, I pause, stalling but knowing she would wait an eternity to hear the answer. I met him last year. Her eyes flash. Where? In Daytona. When? Last year. No, smartass. When were you in Daytona? I don't remember you ever mentioning it to anyone. I shift, squirming in the chair because Tamara and I swore each other to secrecy and hadn't broken our promise for fear of our parents flipping the fuck out. We went there for spring break? I squeak, cringing at my voice and the look that shifts across my aunt's face. You went to Daytona for spring break last year? Yeah, I nod slowly, holding her steely gaze. In March? I nod again, because I figure there's nothing else to say, and I know more questions are coming. She moves her coffee mug to the side, flattening her palms against the cold granite countertop. Wasn't that bike week? I nod again, biting on my lip to stop myself from saying anything more. Are you fucking stupid, little girl? I shake my head, figuring words aren't necessary, and knowing she's going to say enough for the both of us. You went to Daytona for spring break, which just happened to be bike week, alone, and didn't bother to tell anyone? She sucks in a breath, looking like her head is about to pop off. Do you know how goddamn dangerous that was? I wasn't alone, I whisper, staring back down at my mug as I play with the handle. You were with Tamara, weren't you? She says flatly, because usually wherever I go, Tamara isn't too far behind. We're a package deal, especially since Lily decided to go to Miami instead of FSU like Tam and me. I nod again. Izzy pushes away from the countertop, cursing into the air as she starts to pace again. Of all the stupid shit you two could do. We were safe. We made it back in one piece. Nothing bad happened, Auntie. Thank fuck, she blurts out, stopping on her heel and spinning her body to face me. I've been to Bike Week. That shit ain't no joke, Gigi. You went there? I ask, fascinated that my aunt ventured into the biker world. But I shouldn't be surprised. She did end up married to one of the most badass men I've ever known, beside my father. To Bike Week? I was almost raped at Bike Week. If it weren't for your Uncle Thomas and Uncle James, I don't know what would have happened to me. She hangs her head for a moment and takes a deep breath. But I was older and should have been wiser. You aren't even 21 yet, and Tamara isn't even 21 now. So explain to me what the fuck you two were doing at Bike Week. Lying on the beach? I don't even believe my own shit, because my voice rises like I'm asking a question instead of stating a fact. Dead giveaway, and my aunt doesn't miss a fucking beat. Gigi, she says flatly, stop the bullshit. Lay it out, and I want the truth. We went for spring break, but we honestly didn't know it was bike week when we planned the trip. We found out as we pulled into town and noticed all hell had broken loose and everyone was covered in leather and tattoos. Even if you didn't know it was bike week, why did you lie about going to Daytona in the first place? I shrug. We figured Dad would get pissed and Uncle Anthony would throw a fit, so we just thought it would be easier. Izzy chuckles softly, and I almost think she's going to let it drop. Maybe let me go to sleep? But I'm dead wrong. You should always let someone know where you are. You could have at least told me. A place like that at a time like that was risky. And you're lucky you two made it out unscathed. Yeah, I know that now. I'm trying to pacify her. I'll never do it again. And how does Pike fit into, she clears her throat, lying on a beach in Daytona? We ran into each other there. I lie and lift the mug to my lips, hoping to cover some of my face so she doesn't know I'm still not telling her the entire truth. She straightens, crossing her arms in front of her as she stands there in a black tank top and yoga pants, her hair pulled into a tight, high ponytail. So, you two ran into each other, and then you looked like you saw a ghost when you ran into him again? She narrows her eyes. You think I'm going to believe that line of horse shit? It's not horse shit. I mumble into my mug, staring at the black liquid because meeting her eyes is a little too much, especially when she's ready to start frothing at the mouth. You know the man better than just a quick passing hello. I wasn't born yesterday, Gigi. You better start telling me the truth, or I'll tell Joe about Daytona. My eyes widen. You wouldn't. She drops a shoulder, a grin playing on her lips. Sweetheart, I'll do whatever I need to do. It won't be my ass getting chewed out by him when he finds out. I groan, knowing I'm not handling Izzy, but she sure as shit is handling me. Like a pro, too. Fine. We did more than run into each other. Did you drink together? A little, I wince. Did he know you were underage? I shake my head. We had fake IDs. Izzy closes her eyes, pressing her fingers against her temples and rubbing. Motherfucker, she whispers, drawing in a loud breath. How many drinks did you have with Pike? Which time? I try to be funny, even though I was also being honest. She twists her mouth. Stop being a smartass. I shrug again. The first night I met him, I think I had one drink. So you weren't drunk? Well, I give her a nervous smile. I may have been drinking before I met him. I said I only had one drink with him. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being blackout drunk, where were you? Before the drink with him or after? For fuck's sake, she says, shaking her head, cursing again under her breath. After you had the drink with him. A 9. I remember everything except for passing out, which I did because tequila. I laugh, trying to break the tension in the room, thinking Izzy will laugh because she's usually the fun one in my family. She pulls her lips into her mouth, closing her eyes again, and groans. Clearly, I was wrong about the funny, and my aunt's sense of humor died somewhere between earlier tonight, or was that yesterday, and right now. You passed out with him, or were you with Tamara? She's leaning over the counter, tapping her long black fingernails on the granite. You can tell me, or I'll ask Tam when she comes home. I passed out with him. I don't want her questioning Tamara, and she'll find out anyway, because Tam will crack like an egg under Izzy's pressure. Of all the stupid shit. she says, pushing off the counter and pacing again.
Did he hurt you?
Her eyes slice to mine. I shake my head. No, Auntie. He was a gentleman.
A gentleman who took you back to his hotel room.
She laughs.
You're priceless, kid.
Oh, so you've never had a one-night stand with a stranger? I throw that right in her face because I've heard all about the night she met James at my parents' wedding. They weren't sipping coffee all night before she snuck right the fuck out of his room.
We're not talking about me, she deflects. Now, you had a drink with him, passed out, and then what?
Don't leave anything out or Pike will be out of this house and have his shit packed before your tired ass wakes up. I take a deep breath and start at the beginning, telling my aunt every detail, minus all the crazy, amazing fucking we did. She doesn't need to know the details because she isn't my girlfriend, and it is already horrifying enough that I'm telling her I slept with him. After what feels like I've been talking forever, I stop, finally looking at her in the eyes again. That's it.
Did you give him your phone number? Promise him anything?
I shake my head. He didn't even know my full name. Just knew me as Gigi, and I told him I was going for coffee one morning and never went back. My aunt's face changes and her eyes light up.
You said you were going for coffee?
I nod, laughing a little and feeling guilty too. I did. He said he waited for me for hours before realizing I wasn't coming back.
You so should have been my kid, she says, holding her stomach, still laughing. That's totally something I would have pulled back in my heyday.
We're not talking about your heyday. I use air quotes on the last two words. If there's anything more horrifying than telling your aunt about a guy you banged, it's hearing about the guys she banged when she was your age.
I was young once.
You still are. I suck up. Something I've always done with my aunt and has typically worked.
You're a shit liar, baby girl.
Don't fire Pike. I beg, because her mood has changed, and this may be the only time I can beg her for mercy. I promise, he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I need to talk to your uncle before I can make you a promise about Pike and his future at Inked.
That's bullshit. I'm either an adult or I'm not. You can't treat me like a girlfriend one minute, laughing about the way I left a guy with his dick literally in his hand, and then in the next breath, tell me you can't make me a promise until you discuss something with my uncle. Why not just throw Dad in there too?
Pike's future is going to be a family decision, Giovanna. We all own Inked. I don't get the final say in anything that happens to that man without the others getting to say their piece.
Fucking great, I groan.
I won't tell them about your spring break activities, but they will know what happened tonight and the world of shit surrounding Pike.
You won't tell them that we were making out tonight, will you? When her eyes widen, I slap my hand over my mouth, realizing I hadn't told her about that and she had no way of knowing. Fuck, good going, dumbass.
I won't be telling them about that either, if you want Pike to still be breathing. But they're going to have questions and you're going to have to woman up and answer them.
Fine.
There will be lots of questions, especially now that Pike's worried about your safety.
Sounds like a fan-fucking-tastic time. I've always wanted to tell my dad about the lies I've told him and the guys, even though they've been limited, that I've banged. I'm totally looking forward to the most uncomfortable situation of my life. I would rather have my hair pulled out strand by strand, while being tied to a chair of nails sticking in my ass, then talk about any of this shit with the men in my family, especially my father.
Speak of the devil, Izzy says as the door creaks behind me.
My eyes widen and I freeze.